Kentuckery. The Maine outdoors is waiting for all of us to see. The mountains, lakes, and rivers, the wildlife, and the woods are just outside your doorway. So get outside and find it in the Maine outdoors. Fishing and hunting, winter, spring, summer, and fall. If it happens in the Maine outdoors, they talk about it all. Just tune in your radio to 103.9. Jim and Paul and Bob and Matt are your outdoors hotline. Each Sunday night at 7 on WVOM. To find out what is happening, just listen to the radio to the Maine outdoors.
Welcome to the Maine outdoors. Here's tonight's host, V. Paul Reynolds.
Thank you, sir. And three guesses what the topic is on tonight's Maine Outdoors. You bet. We are going to talk turkey. Tomorrow morning at a half hour before sunrise, it's legal to hunt male turkeys in the state of Maine. An exciting time for those of us who hunt the big birds. And we're going to be talking to two seasoned diehard turkey hunters who have been at it for many years. Our guest in the studio tonight, who I'll introduce in just a moment, and we have a phone guest as well, and I'll introduce the phone guest. But first, the crew. The man in the studio there behind the bulletproof glass, the guy behind all the controls and the dials and the gauges and the little red lights and the amber lights, the chili man himself, Norm Plord.
Good evening, Paul. How you doing?
Nice to have you here. Without you here, there would be no show.
No.
Right. And we want to say hi to Jim, who's at home listening,
yes,
I think.
Yes, Jim's at home.
You bet. And our esteemed co-host, a registered master guide, he's wearing his Northwoods Sporting Journal cap.
I am.
Mr. Trout, Robert F. Lehman.
I appreciate it, sir, and good luck on the hunt.
Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome.
I'll need it. You bet.
Yes, you will.
And our guest in the studio tonight is an old family friend who's been hunting turkeys for 20 years. We were talking about it before the show. He's got more turkeys under his belt than you can count. Nice to have you with us, Josh Cottrell.
Thanks for having me.
Give us one more little yelp, would you? Just one more little one. Oh, you're so good at that. See, I have one of these little gizmos. This thing just battery operated. Oh. Damn thing doesn't work. Guess I won't be taking that out with me tomorrow. Anyway, nice to have you with us, Josh, and we'll be talking turkeys with Josh Cottrell in just a minute. And then at 7:30, we're going to hook up by telephone for a few minutes and talk to Stu Bristol. Stu's a columnist for the Northwood Sporting Journal, writes a column called South of the Kennebec. And he's an experienced turkey man. He's been at it for probably more years than you have, Josh. He used to hunt them, I think, in other states.
Yeah, exactly.
In fact, I think he was a game warden in Vermont, so he goes way back with turkeys, and we'll talk to him as well. So right now, if you have a question, get it well organized, and you can call us. We have a toll-free statewide number. We'd like to invite you to be part of our program tonight. What is that number,
Robert? 207-966-1039. And even if you're local, you have to dial the whole number.
You have to dial the 207?
Yeah, you certainly do.
I thought it was 1-800-966-1039.
Oh, I'm sorry. I almost gave you my home number.
Okay.
You always catch me off.
I caught you off guard. All right. You want to try it again?
Yes, I'll try it again.
What's the number?
1-800-966-1039.
All right. Toll-free statewide. You can call us from anywhere in the world. If you're down in Mexico City or if you're over there in Istanbul, you can give us a call. Toll-free. Okay.
Right.
We have an Outdoor Digest brought to you by the Northwood Sporting Journal and Maine Outdoor Publications. Reminder, once again, this is about the third reminder, but you got to know the deadline for submitting those applications for a moose hunting permit is May 15th. You have until midnight, and you have to do it online now. They don't send out any mail applications. Boy, times are changing, aren't they? Remember we used to get it in the mail? They would remind you, put a stamp on it, and send it. You don't do that anymore. It's all online. So make sure you apply for your moose lottery permit. By the way, I had a cut of moose backstrap two nights ago. Diane fried it up. Man, I think moose is better than deer.
No question. I've been eating your moose hat you gave me.
Isn't that good?
It's the best piece of meat I ever ate. It's delicious.
Yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I like moose.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
Yeah, very good. So anyway, you have till the 15th of May to apply for your permit. Turkey season, again, starts tomorrow morning, a half hour before sunrise. And Josh Cottrell, you probably won't be going out, right?
Right. No, I'm sleeping.
Yeah, I think I will too.
Why not?
I know you. You'll be out there long before sunrise.
I will.
And you know, I'm getting lazy in my old age. Because I was thinking, I don't like getting up at 3:30 in the morning. But I was thinking, I know you don't have to be out there at 4 a.m. to get a turkey. I mean, I've shot them at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock.
Best hunting's after 9.
Yeah.
Just fun to hear them gobbling
the
tree.
So maybe I'll just, you know, take my time, have a cup of coffee, head out around 7 a.m. Maybe. We'll see.
That's where you're smart.
Yeah, I think so. Right. Okay, anyway, turkey season begins tomorrow, and by law now you can take 2 males, right?
Correct.
And that's something, what, last couple of years have been that way?
I think it's been 3-4 years.
Has it been?
I think at least, yeah.
Yeah. And we'll be talking about calling turkeys, locations, tactics, type of guns to use, and a lot of other things. So if you have a question, get it ready. Let's see. I think it's time for Bob's fishing report.
I'm the big boss bass.
Yeah.
And you work for me.
Yeah.
How come Norm? Norm's not in.
Yeah.
Oh, there he is. Okay, good. He's on key too, Bob.
Yeah.
All right, fishing world. Boy, alrighty. Things are happening down at the Branch Lake. You ought to see the fishermen out there today.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised, and they're probably catching fish too.
Well, I've been watching through the heavy glasses.
I might give you a little pointer on that.
Yeah.
Fish off the inlets.
Fish off the inlet.
And you know where they are.
I know where they are. Yes, sir,
okay,
indeed.
Okay, just go out about 100 yards and go back and forth, up and down, that, because the salmon will be after the smelts right now.
You bet.
And you know what to do.
Oh, yeah.
But fish the inlets.
Boat is in the water. Outboard is installed.
Start the motor.
The net's in there. The fishing gear is ready.
Yeah, anywhere. Look for an inlet. You know where the inlet is. Look at the map of the lake.
But I have to wash the windows first.
Well, that's a good idea.
Today we wash windows. Tomorrow we fish or hunt.
You get a line out there and a fly on it and go like the Dickens.
All right.
Okay. And also, have you seen the price of Elvas?
No, I haven't.
You haven't?
No.
You haven't? Have you?
Yeah, record highs.
Record highs.
I don't eat them as much as I used to.
You know they've gone from $2,000 a pound to what now, Josh?
Last I heard it was like 25, but maybe it's more since.
Yeah, well, 20. Can you imagine for a pound of Elvas?
Wow.
You know what Elvas are?
Yeah, it's time to go.
Say Elvis Presley.
It's time to
Elvers.
Go. Yeah, I know. It's time to go Elver fishing, I guess. Then.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
Wow.
We're missing the
I think we are, yeah.
Missing this thing here, wow. You know. It's unbelievable. But smelts are running, too, I guess. They've been sparse. I've talked to several guys who've been smelt fishing and very sparse. Have you been?
I don't, but I saw a friend of mine. They had a great night last night. They got a bunch.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it depends on where you go, I guess.
Yep.
The water's been high, so it's a little difficult.
Mm-hmm. I would think so, yeah.
Yep. And trout fishing right now is really slow. So I'd say hit those coastal brooks right now. You know, the water isn't quite so high as it is as further north you go. And, you know, there's a nice outline now. It's about up to Route 9 and some ponds beyond that, but not many, not many. Somebody was saying they was going out one of the local areas and there was ice on the marshes still. Around here.
No kidding.
It's hard to believe, isn't it?
I wonder when Moosehead Lake will open up.
Oh, probably July anyway. You can count on it.
Oh, no. I think you'd be surprised. I think it might be another week or so. Maybe I'm wrong, but we'll see.
So stay home, tie some flies.
Is it my turn to ask you about your book?
Go ahead.
For those folks who are listening, seriously, Bob Lehman has a book out called Trolling Flies for Trout and Salmon. It's a reissue of an old book, and I helped Bob put it together. So, I have to disclose that I have a vested interest. I get a small royalty from Bob every time he sells one of these babies. But I was reading it again today, and it's been a long while since we put out this book.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
1980 something.
Was it?
It's still on Amazon.
If you are if you're a fisherman, and particularly if you like to troll for salmon, this is a great book about streamers. It's unbelievable. There's fabulous photos in here of just about every streamer you can imagine. I went in here, Bob, looking. You mentioned last week the Rochelle.
Yes.
So I dug in here. I want to get a look at that baby. And,
yes.
And I see
yep.
it's
Do you have one?
I don't have one.
Well, tie one up.
Well, I haven't. Scotty has all my fly tying gear, and I don't know where that is. Probably on his sailboat somewhere. But anyway, it's a great little book. But I was reading it, and I have a question to put to mm-hmm. you. I don't want to put you on the spot here.
Not at all.
Robert.
Go for it.
But on page 32, there's a list of Bob Lehman's top 10 streamer flies.
Oh, uh-huh.
And the first one you love is the red and white bucktail, and it explains why and so forth.
Yes.
But it was sort of conspicuous by its absence.
Oh,
whatever happened to the barn special?
Well, it's something that I acquired from a friend of mine. He always used a Banshee. His name was Roger Wakefield from Machias, and we fished the airline lakes, ponds, rivers, everything, Grand Lake Stream for years until he died. And he used a Banshee special, so and I used a white marabou muddler for salmon and trout. And as bugger, he outfished me constantly with that Banshee special. And at one time, we were standing on a pool, and I fished the pool with my fly, and he fished it with his fly, and he outfished me three or four salmon to nothing.
Wow.
And that day, I said, I'm going to start using the Banshee special.
So if you had to rewrite this book again, under Bob Lehman's top 10, the Barn Special would be number one?
For landlocked salmon, it would be number one, yes.
Number one.
For trout, I'd still have to go with the white marabou muddler.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
And the red and white bucktail?
The red and white bucktail is right up there for trolling for salmon. I've caught a lot of fish on the red and white bucktail, but it's Bob's red and white bucktail. It has peacock curl over the top.
Okay.
And a painted eye.
All right.
And that's the big difference. It'll make a big difference in your trolling, too.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. If you're listening at home, I want to just plug his book, Trolling Flies for Trout and Salmon, and it's a wonderful book, and it's just entertaining, and a lot of detail in there about tying flies, and just a beautiful bunch of color plates. You can see just about every streamer fly you can imagine, and an interesting history of the streamer fly as well in here.
Yes, sir.
And if somebody wants to buy the book, Bob, how do they go about that?
Well, they could contact me if I'm in the local phone book, or they could go to fly shops and ask them.
Yeah,
most fly shops in Maine here, and even beyond Maine.
Van Raymond carry them.
Van Raymond's got a big stack of them down there, and they do very well with them.
Old Town Trading Post.
Old Town had some.
Yep.
I was just down to the Eldridge Brothers a couple of weeks ago and signed 15 copies of them. And that's all that good nowadays. Would you imagine? It's been 25, 30 years. Well, let's see, 1986 or 84 or something in the front there. Somewhere. That's been out, and we've had several reprints, as you know.
You bet.
And still going. Still going. Good. A lot of people have said they still have copies of the original soft covers, and is worn out completely from use.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't...
Well, a very timely book, too, right now.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
A lot of history, as you said. A lot of history that would be forgotten if it wasn't printed.
You bet. Yeah. Okay, that wraps up Outdoor Digest, brought to you by the Northwoods Sporting Journal. And our guest again, if you joined us late, is Josh Cottrell. Josh is a seasoned, diehard turkey hunter, and I've hunted with him, and he knows his stuff. And he'll be telling you how to go about it tomorrow morning, along with Stu Bristol, who'll be with us by phone at 7:30. Right now, though, before we take our break, it's time for the outdoor trivia question. And Josh is going to give you the question and judge the veracity of your answer. But first, we want to tell you the prize this week is we couldn't find the Lund boat, so I have to put that off. But we do have a Tony sharpener. Now, this is a compact little carry-it-yourself sharpener, and I've used them for years. And they price for, I think it's $17.95. We'll give you one of those for your pack. It's really nice to have either in your fishing box or in your pack if you're a hiker. They're light, and they're handy and very convenient. Tony Sharpener, you'll get one if you have an answer to Josh Cottrell's question.
If the guy calls in and he doesn't get the question correctly, I will send him a streamer fly.
If he doesn't get the question.
Yeah, if he misses the question, I'll give him a streamer fly.
I'm not sure I understand that, but I'll have to think about that a minute. If he doesn't get the answer, you're going to give him something.
It's a
participation ribbon.
Well, for calling in.
What if if he wants to fly more than he wants to sharpen it? I don't know. I'll have to think about that.
We'll see what happens.
Okay, what's the question, Josh?
Question tonight is, wild turkeys make a lot of different sounds. Name at least three.
1-800-966-1039. If you don't have the answer, call us. Okay, we're back with Maine Outdoors. Our studio guest is turkey hunter Josh Cottrell. Josh wants you to name at least three turkey-type calls. Now, let's take a call right now. Good evening. You're on Maine Outdoors with Josh Cottrell.
Yes, hello. My name is Dennis.
Say your name again.
Dennis Goulet.
Oh, hi, Dennis. Okay. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. How about a yelp, cluck, and a purr?
Those sound like noises I know. So,
all right.
Winner, winner. No fly for you.
Okay, that's the correct answer, Dennis. You sound like you're talking through a coffee can or something. I'm not sure what we got a bad hookup or what, but it's nice to have you on our program, and congratulations, you have the correct answer, and we will be sending you a Tony Sharpener in the mail, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right. Are you a turkey guy?
I am, yes. I have a fellow that comes up from Canada every opening day, and it was really a good thing when the state changed that law so that the aliens could purchase a small game license, because it was pretty expensive.
Oh, yeah. You bet. Yeah. It was a good move, I think. Well, you're going out tomorrow, are you?
I am. I'm just getting back from scouting, heading home, listening to your show.
Yeah, okay. Well, good luck to you tomorrow morning. And stay on the line, Dennis, and Norm will get your address, and I'll make sure that Diane sends you out a sharpener first thing tomorrow, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for listening. All right. That was the correct answer. Purr, cluck, yelp, cut. What else? Is there anything else?
They gobble.
Purr.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, Bob, I don't know what you're going to do with that fly.
I just said I'll tie you one.
Oh, okay. You're going to tie me a Rochelle. All right. Drag that
you
around Branch.
Away.
I'll drag that around Branch. All right. Okay, Josh, let's get down to business here and talk about next to deer hunting, turkey hunting is one of my favorites. You've been at it for many, many years. You and I have hunted together, and you've bow hunted turkeys, you've shotgun hunted turkeys, and you're a guy that brings home the bacon. I've watched you for years and have always admired your skill, not only as a turkey hunter, but as a deer man. You're a good deer hunter. You never shared any of your places with me, but that's typical, I guess, and probably never changed. But let's get down to business here. The different types of calling, how important are calls? Somebody who's new at it, let's go at this thing. Let's say some of the folks are novice turkey hunters. They've done it a little bit, but they still have questions about calling and that sort of thing. What would your advice be to somebody who's like new at calling? What would you suggest? How do they manage their calling techniques?
So the big thing is less is best.
Less is best.
Exactly. Okay. Yep. So most people that are new tend to get excited and just harp away. They got a box call and they get out there, and every time they make a noise, a bird gobbles. They're like, and that works. It can work. But as birds get more educated, that works less. So kind of the rule of thumb is once you've got them interested, you kind of clam up a little bit or just quiet down.
They get curious, I
guess. Yeah, absolutely. Huh? Well, they're coming anyways, usually. Yeah. And sometimes they come quiet, and it might take 20 minutes. But
That's the question. How long do you wait? That's just a
And that's part of the
part of the deal, right?
Part of the deal. You know me, I'm not very patient.
Yeah.
About 10 minutes, I'm ready to either move or get more aggressive with it. But
if you say you're walking through the woods first thing in the morning, sun's starting to come up, the woods is quiet, there's no wind, and all of a sudden, way off in the distance, you hear, blah, 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 blah. What's your tactic from that point?
Well, first thing is cut the distance. You know, you don't want to try to call a bird from a quarter mile away.
Yep.
You're not going to have luck. So what you want to try to do is get, if they're roosted, you want to get as close as you can to that roost tree without being spotted, somewhere in that 100 to 200 yard range.
Yeah.
And then get set up. And another big mistake is people call to them in the tree, and that sometimes can clam them up, and it makes them a little nervous. So
how do you know whether they're in the tree or not, though?
You can tell. When they fly down, the tone changes, you know.
You can tell by the tone whether they're in the tree?
Yeah, their gobbles, when they're high, it carries so well.
Yeah.
When they drop down to the ground, all of a sudden.
Oh, I see.
So it's, and ideally, if you get close enough, a lot of times you can see them fly out.
Yeah. And that's the other thing that I have trouble is judging how far I am from that turkey call. It's just something that grows with experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you'll booger a few, and that's part of the game.
Yeah.
The good news, they're turkeys. They're everywhere. Yeah, so if you screw one up, it's not the end of the world. Yeah.
Do you think turkeys are more plentiful than they've ever been in Maine?
They seem to be. You know, I know the state actually issued something the other day really promoting the hunt, wanting people to get out and kill some because
had too many birds.
Getting to be too many,
So they want to try to manage the turkey population. So tomorrow morning you'll be out there.
I will.
And you're taking a youngster with you.
I am. A friend of mine's daughter missed youth day. They were in Florida. So yeah. I said, let's go on Monday.
Okay. Well, that's an exciting thing for – what a great way for a youngster to get introduced to hunting.
Oh, that's the best thing for turkeys. Yeah. It is a great way to get kids in the woods.
That's exciting.
A lot of activity.
So if you, you're walking through the woods and you hear a gobble and you close the distance – and then you get an answer back. That's when you stop calling.
Well, right? Yeah. I mean, you soften your calling. You don't just keep yelping at the bird. So what I'll do is once I get a response and I know the bird's kind of interested, then you go to like soft clucks and maybe some purrs and just.
You know, Stu Bristol, who we're going to talk with at 7:30. I think once he wrote a column about how. That you got to think like a turkey and you got to act sexy.
Right.
I don't know how I would do that with a turkey, but I guess there is a way. Yeah, in other words, you talk, you purr a little bit, try to get him curious. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's a male turkey and he's looking for love.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to try to entice him to come to you. And they don't like to do that, do they? They would rather have the hen come to them.
That is not nature. So nature is for the hens to go to the toms. That's why they go out and strut. So you're getting them to do what they don't want to do.
Yeah. Did you hear our show the other week with Mark McCullough? We talked about turkey snoods.
No, I missed that one.
Yeah. You know what a snood is on a turkey?
I do.
Yeah. Well, he's done a lot of studying on that. A lot of research has been done, and they find out that the hen is turned on not by the big fanning turkey feathers or the size of the beard or anything else. It's the snood.
The snood,
Turns them on. Isn't that incredible?
It is.
Yeah.
That's an amazing thing.
Okay. I thought you were going to say something about the snood, Norm.
No, we covered that last
night. Oh, okay. All right. Okay, so calling is important.
Calling's important.
Location's important, too. How about a guy like me who's too lazy? I haven't even been out scouting. I've just been driving around and seen a few birds. I'm going to just pick a place and go in, where I can get legal access. But you do a lot of scouting. I guess most turkey hunters do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, absolutely. Okay. Key part of it.
Okay. Sport. We're going to have more with the Turkey Talk. You stay with us right here on Maine Outdoors.
More Maine Outdoors next.
Okay, we're back with Maine Outdoors, and our studio guest is, of course, Josh Cottrell, who's a diehard seasoned turkey man. And we have another one of those on the line right now. Stu Bristol, are you there, sir?
I'm right here, Paul. Good evening.
Hi, Stu. How are you tonight?
Good. Beautiful. Rainy out here. It's going to be nice in the morning.
Yeah, I think so. Stu, it's great to have you with us. For those of you listening who may not know, Stu writes a great column for the Northwood Sporting Journal called South of the Kennebec. He's been at turkey hunting for how many years now, Stu?
I would say a little over 40.
40 years. Well, that does make you a veteran, doesn't it?
A little bit.
Yeah. We have with us in the studio Josh Cottrell, who used to write a great column for the Northwood Sporting Journal, and I was disappointed when he left me, but he went for better, bigger money. And he's been at turkey hunting about 20 years himself, and he brings home the bacon. He knows his stuff when it comes to turkeys. And I've invited him to kind of share the conversation with us tonight, Stu, and he may have some questions to ask you.
I think I met Josh at one time.
We did. We met at an event, I think, Cabela's or Beans or something. Sure. Yep.
All
absolutely.
Right, good. Let's start out. We talked a little bit about, what to do when you hear a turkey gobble at 4:30 in the morning. One of the things that you wrote about, I think, is in the upcoming issue, was an article about late gobblers. You like to hunt the gobblers late in the season, I think you mentioned in your column, and you had some reasons why. Can you talk about that with us a little bit, Stu?
Yep, a lot of reasons. Late in the morning and late in the season, too. Right now, the in Maine especially, with this cold weather, the birds, the gobblers take part in the according to the length of the day. It's not really how bright a day it is or any of that. It's how many hours of sunlight there is. So off the roost, early in the season, they'll be with a lot of hens. And after they service those hens by 9, 10 o'clock, the fools are right out there looking for more. So that's really, the hens are going to be out of the way, and you'll have your best opportunity to be one-on-one with a gobbler. then late in the season, as the hens, more hens get on a nest, then it's the same again. The hunters have the gobblers to themselves looking all over. They'll be traveling just like the rut with the deer. Later in the season, they'll be, after they service, they'll be running around every which way.
And, of course, I suppose another advantage is you have fewer hunters in the woods, generally, right?
Yeah, that's for most people. I say for most people because I hunt mostly private public land. I have a few private spots, but I get away from the fields and I get away from the so-called hot spots where everybody else hunts. So I very seldom have competition anyway.
And
but for the most of the people who hunt the fields will get interfered with.
Yeah. I think Josh Cottrell agrees with you on that, don't you, Josh?
Yeah, I think we talked to about it right before the show, actually, about how, you know, the fields attract people because they're easy. They drive by, they see a turkey, they're like, oh, they're going to set up there. The problem is it attracts everybody else.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Right.
So you like to get in the woods and walk around the first thing in the morning, Stu?
Well, I'm an old school hunter. I learned from all the guys down south that when we had nothing, there were no turkey hunters up here. You know, I learned from some of those so-called legends now, Ben Lee and all those guys back in the 60s and 70s. And I learned that your best opportunity to challenge a gobbler is in the woods. The fields, you're going to be competing with other hunters, but most important, you're going to be competing with the hens. And you, no matter how good a caller you are, you're not going to out-call a hen.
Right. So do you agree that we have probably more turkeys than we've had in Maine ever?
Oh, yeah. The numbers are there. There's no question we have more. But we have the same problem with turkeys that we have with deer, and that is the private land. And how do you manage any species when there's posted land that you have no access to, take any of them?
Yeah. Well, you have that problem probably more so down your way, but I've noticed it around here now as a deer hunter and as a turkey hunter. It's tough sometimes just to find access.
Oh, I would
find a place
again.
That isn't posted with something. Yeah.
Without a trailer.
And the rule of thumb always applies. You see the turkeys on the posted land. So you got to kind of shop around. And have you done your scouting homework, Stu?
Oh, yeah. I just came in about 15 minutes ago. I was afraid I was going to miss you.
Oh, so you've been out to...
I make a circle in the neighborhood here. I'm in Lyman, where it's a pretty rural area for southern Maine. And I'll have six or eight different favorite locations, one private and the other five or six public lands, and I'll go out and I'll hoot at this time of night, and I'll get all I care is I have a gobbler answering in the morning. I know the terrain, then I can go in and I'll hunt for a particular bird.
I see. Okay, so you have one roosted already. How about you, Josh Cottrell? You have one roosted?
No, I was here.
Oh, I'm sorry. My timing was terrible, right?
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah. I know. Yeah.
Stu, one of the things we like to do in this program is make assumptions that there are people listening who either haven't turkey hunted or are very new at it and sometimes confused about how to approach it and everything. What's your recommendation as far as for a novice hunter? What type of call should they employ to use a slate call or a box call, learn to call the diaphragm? How would you suggest they go about that?
Well, besides the fact that I'm a game call maker, what I suggest people start out with an easy, simple box call. And you don't need to spend more than $35. Anything will work. It's the cadence of the call that makes a difference. Second to that would be a slate call, and those are pretty successful. The thing I would stay away from are the mouth calls. I know people love to put these things in their mouth, and there's a lot of callers that are really, really efficient at it. But a new caller, If you want to get frustrated, try that first. Start with a box call and a plate call.
Do you use a mouth call, Stu?
No, I have. Well, I used to. I don't use it. I haven't used it in years because I, in fact, I to give you an idea, a lot of times I just have a piece of slate in my hand, you know, a 3-inch piece of slate and cup it in my hand.
Right.
And I'll use a striker on that, and that's as good as any of those $100 calls that you'd buy from me.
Yeah. Okay.
Good marketing.
All right. Josh Cottrell, now he's I think Josh is from a different school. He really likes the mouth call, don't you, Josh?
I do, and it's just, you know, personal preference, you know.
It makes it more fun, doesn't it?
I think so. I like the inflection that you can put into the call.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter, but it feels like it matters.
Yeah. Do you want to hear Josh Cottrell do a call, Stu?
Oh, I'd love it.
All right. What would you like to have him try?
Well, I'd stick with the basic things. One of the most effective calls that I have, other than just a basic yelp and a purr, is what's called a fly-down cackle. When a hen flies down from the roof, she makes just like a domestic. They cackle, and that really gets gobblers excited if you want to find out where they are.
A fly-down cackle. Can you do that, Josh Cottrell?
Yep.
All right, that gives me goosebumps.
If I know how to gobble, I'd
gobble. Okay, that is great. Can you do that, Norm Plord?
I cannot.
You can't do that either. I can't either. I try it at home, and Diane gets ripped at me. She says, "Take that thing out of your mouth. You don't know how to do that."
I can use a box call. I can use a slate, but if I put a piece in my mouth, I gag too easily.
Yeah, okay. Okay, Stu. Any other tip?
Boxes.
Say again, Stu.
We can, you know, a mouth call is great. You know, for those experienced people to do it.
Yeah.
They're also fairly easy for a novice to choke on them and die.
No, we wouldn't want that.
But it can be used. The same call can be done with a slate or a box, especially a box.
Yeah. Do you have a box call handy right there?
I do, but I have one hand.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Unless I put you on speaker, there's nothing.
That's right. I'm sorry. Yeah, I have one of those. I think you made that goes on the barrel of my shotgun, my 20 gauge.
Oh yeah, that's one of my most.
I like that.
Popular.
You seen those, Joe?
Yeah,
it's
a little push pull call.
You get a little. You can aim if they're coming toward you, and you can still aim your gun, and you can push this little call with your thumb. It's a great deal. I love that thing, Joe.
The one I sell has a string on it where you pull it. It fits on a 12 or 20 gauge on the end of the barrel.
Yeah.
And you're aiming at a turkey, you can still do little squeak, purrs, and clucks.
Yeah. Well, I think this has a little dowel that sticks out that you push, right?
Yeah.
Some do, different versions.
Yeah, that's a nice little rig. What about, do you have any preference for guns, Stu Bristol?
12 gauge, 3-inch. You know, I see no... It's all a matter of personal preference, but I see no reason for more power than what you need. It'd be like fishing for a brook trout with a 9-0 saltwater reel. A 3-inch 12 gauge full or extra full choke. There's so much modern ammo now, and I use a Federal Premium, you know, like 1 3/4, and I really like these new third degree shells.
I haven't heard about those. Now, I have a 20-gauge. You don't look down on those of us that shoot a 20-gauge with 3-inch magnums.
I've killed a lot of turkeys with 20.
Yeah.
I've killed a lot of turkeys with 20. And Federal also makes those. They're called a triplex load. They have three different size shots in them.
Yeah. You like
and
those?
They're legal in Maine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've killed birds up to 50 yards with them.
Have you really? Or, wow, that's
they make those for 20 also.
Yeah. Have you heard of those, Josh?
I have, yeah. I like those as well.
Yeah.
I like the mixed loads.
Yeah, mixed loads.
And we have two experts here on turkey hunting. And if anybody out in the audience wants to call in and ask them a question, the number to call is 1-800-966-1039.
We did have somebody call in. He was wondering if you would talk about decoys.
About decoys,
using decoys, how effective they are.
All right. You want to address that, Stu Bristol? Decoys. What about that? Do you like those?
Well, I used I use decoys only in certain situations. Decoys could be dangerous. They're, you have to be sure that you put the decoy out where that somebody can't approach and shoot at the decoy where you're in line with it. And as far as the types, I use a one juvenile gobbler called the Jake, and I use two hens, and I set them up in an array, and I discourage people from any of these mechanical devices. They have turkeys now that
commercial,
you know, strut back and forth, and well, they should be used by game wardens. But yeah, they are very effective.
But be careful how you use them.
Yes.
Yeah.
We had a game warden in, right here in next town over that got shot in the back improperly. Ooh. Using a game a decoy.
Wow.
Didn't kill him, but it was very, very lucky.
Yeah. We have to take a short commercial break. Do you mind hanging on, Stu?
Nope, I'll be right here.
Okay. Again, if you have a question for either Stu or Josh Cottrell, the number to call is what, Bob?
1-800-966-1039.
And we want to remind you, too, that this program is sponsored every week in part by General Appliance and Brewer, the place to go for all of your camp appliance needs. Doesn't matter if you're talking about gas lights, ranges, refrigerators, or freezers, or compost toilets.
Ride the wave, baby.
You bet.
Ride the wave.
They have a complete line of new and used appliances. They service and stand behind everything they sell. Their prices are reasonable. They're just good folks to do business with. The man to talk to over there is Al Elkin. He's been the operator there for many years, and you can call him if you have a question about a possible appliance you're looking for. You can ring him up at 989-3714, or you can go over and talk to him in person at 91 Central Street. Is it Center Street?
Center Street
in Brewer.
Easy to find.
Now, how do you get there?
Well, you go across the old bridge from Bangor to Brewer.
Right.
Right at the light, take a right and a left, and you're on Center Street, and they got practically the whole block on the right. Can't miss them.
So you can't get lost.
Used to be Perkins Supply.
Okay, can't get lost.
That's
General Appliance and Brewer. So we urge you, the next time you're thinking about the possibility of buying a used or new electric or propane range, a refrigerator, or anything in the appliance field, check them out over there at General Appliance and Brewer. We patronize them, and we urge you to do so.
And they sell all our books over there, Paul.
Yes, sir, they do. Okay, Stu Bristol, you still with us, Stu?
I'm still there.
Okay, nice to have you here. What about, we're talking a little bit before the show with Josh Cottrell, what about tactics? What lessons have you learned not to do as a successful turkey hunter?
Well, you never try to crawl up, never try to creep up on a turkey. In fact, you should stay put just for the safety factor. Anytime that I'm upright in the woods, I have an orange hat on.
You do?
Turkeys can see color, and that may spook them, it may not. You know, I've seen them both ways, but the best thing you could do is save your life by having an orange, even sometimes putting a vest on. When you're carrying a dead turkey, put a vest on a turkey and carry it. I've seen a lot in 40 years.
So if you're just walking in the woods in the morning, turkey hunting, you would always have an orange hat on top of your head?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And you may think that's going to spook turkeys, and it may, but
it's worth
of the time,
it. Yeah.
Turkeys are out of sight.
Yeah. Now, what if you're hunkered down on the edge of a field under a big pine, overhanging pine tree? Would you still have an orange hat on?
If I sit next to a tree, I make sure that it's probably less than shoulder width, so I can hear around it.
Yeah.
As long as my back is protected, I carry that orange hat inside my chest, part of the portion of my vest.
Yeah.
So I can take it out, put it on, put it away quickly.
Yeah. So if you saw some other turkey hunters coming your way from across the field, you might just put that hat on.
It's happened. I've had people shoot my decoys.
Happy, really.
People
unbelievable.
Sneak up on me and get up and wave to them, and they put their guns up like they didn't realize I was a person.
Oh, boy. We have a caller standing by, Stu or Josh, who may have a question for either of you. Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors with Stu Bristol and Josh Cottrell. Go ahead, caller.
Good evening, fellas.
Good evening.
Hey. I was wondering, a friend of mine told me how to cook the legs. I love the breast. You can cook the breast any way you want. But he said to put it in a pan with a brick for 2 hours in the oven and take it out and throw the legs away. So I was wondering, how do you eat the legs? How do you prepare the legs?
That is a very good question. You want to take that, Josh Cottrell?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I've had good luck roasting them. I've never cooked them separate. You know, usually if I just breast the bird out, I breast the bird out.
Yeah.
But also I've deep fried them and they come out good. But roasted, I have no problem with the legs.
Eat the legs?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're great. But if he's looking for like a specific recipe just for the legs, that I don't know. Maybe Stu has something he's done.
Yeah, Stu, what about you?
Well, a turkey is too good to waste any part of it. Feathers, anything except for the guts.
Yeah.
Once you take the breast out, if you're not going to roast the whole bird, pick all the feathers off it and then throw the whole thing, you know, cut off the legs and whatever will be hanging out, put it in a crock pot and fill it up with some water, some chicken broth, throw in some carrots, potatoes, just about any leftover veggies you got in the fridge with the tomato, and leave it in a crock pot on low for about 8 or 10 hours, and then you could strain it, you know, put it through a regular spaghetti strainer, and you can end up with two things. You end up with a broth, and then you can end up with pieces of meat that you can pick off the bones.
Let me ask you this. I don't know if this is called wanton waste, but the few turkeys that I've shot the last few years, I haven't bothered to pluck them because it's just a horrific job, and I just breast them out the same way I would a grouse. Is that, do you consider that unethical?
No, it's...
Or just lazy?
I know you. I've known you for years. I know how lazy you are.
Diane's at home now shaking her head.
There's not that much.
Would you
not that much meat on them, but
on those... Yeah, go ahead.
Try to pick off as much meat as you can, but the other thing with the dark meat, it's muscular. That's why it's so tough. If you want to try cutting the drumsticks off, and then you could just soak them in buttermilk overnight, and then any kind of slow stewing, that kind of stuff would take the meat off it. It's like parboiling.
Now, do you always defeather your turkeys?
I never do.
So you breast them out as
I skin them.
You skin them, right? Oh, okay.
I skin them. I learned from a guy by the name of Ben Rogers Lee back in the 60s. He says, I can't do his southern accent, but everybody can help him. He said the first turkey you shoot, you should pluck it, just so you never want to do it again.
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that. The first turkey I ever shot in Hamden, Maine, I tried to pluck it. And I said, it took me like all day, and I said, this is for the birds. I'm never going to do this again, ever.
I can show you how to skin it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take much time to skin it, but if you're going to skin the bird and then roast it in the oven, you're going to want to lay some thick-cut bacon across the breast.
Yeah. It's pretty dry if you don't.
Dry out on you.
Yeah, yeah.
And these little roasting bags, they look like, you know, I wondered about putting plastic in the oven, but these oven roaster bags work great.
Yeah, they are good.
Put the whole
yeah.
bird in there and put veggies in with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you're really not wasting anything.
Josh Cottrell brought up a question. I'd like to have you field that question. Ask him the question about the tagging station.
Stu, a friend of mine messaged me yesterday morning, and he said, hey, do you have to bring the whole bird to the station to tag it, or can I just breast it out at where I am and just bring the breasts? And I didn't know. I was like, I said bring the whole thing, but I guess he could have breasted it and just brought the carcass. He just wanted to get it cooling. Yeah.
No, so. There's no need to.
Yeah.
Paul knows I'm a former game warden, but you really need, with any fishing game that needs to be registered, you've got to have the whole carcass. Just to prove what it was, and it's only one carcass, because you're only allowed two birds.
Oh, yeah. Of course, you'd need the bearded part, because that makes sense.
If you want, you can breast that bird out, put it in a cooler bag, and just bring the
carcass.
You know, the remainder.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't get in trouble if you did, as long as you brought the whole turkey, you wouldn't get in trouble, right?
Yeah, you could probably bring it without the breast, but you're better off
you know, fess up and say, here's my thing. I cut the breast out of it. Here's the breast.
You show them the whole thing. Yeah,
yeah.
I see.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah. 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 Okay. Interesting. You mentioned cadence, how important that was in calling. I know what cadence is. I think I do, but I'm not sure I do when it comes to turkey calling. You're talking about the pause between each call? Is that cadence?
Right. The turkey schools I used to run, what I would teach people is to go out in the woods and just listen. Don't call to them, just listen. Find a bird, and you'll hear that the hens, when they're mating, they'll do a series of three yelps. Yelp, yelp, yelp.
Yeah.
And a lot of these, even on TV, you see these guys calling because they like the sound of their voice. They'll go 6 or 8 or 10 yelps, and that just tips off a gobbler that something besides what he's looking for is around.
Okay. Okay, we have a call.
3 or 4 yelps, 4 or 5 yelps.
All right, we have a caller. Let's try to take it in the short time remaining. Good evening, caller. Okay. You're on Main Outdoors with Stu Bristol and Josh Cottrell. Go ahead.
Hey there. As far as cooking the turkey, all right, I agree wholeheartedly with the drumsticks and the thighs, but I also take the wings up to the first elbow. There's an awful lot of meat on those.
Oh, yeah.
And putting them in a crock pot, we use a little bit of, it's called better than bouillon. You can get it in several different flavors, fish, beef, chicken.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And we've had that, yeah.
Yep.
We put that in there. And I do the same thing with geese. A lot of people, all they do is breast out the geese. All right, well, I tell you
okay,
what.
Okay, we're out of time. Caller, I'm sorry. We appreciate your call, but we've run out of time. We're up against the clock.
All right.
Thank you for calling.
Okey-dokey.
All right. Good luck to Stu in the woods tomorrow. Thank you for being with us.
All righty, Paul.
Take care, guy. And Josh Cottrell, thank you, and good luck to you tomorrow.
Thanks for having me.
And good luck to me.
Yeah, exactly.
And we'll see you all next week right here on Maine Outdoors.
Maine Outdoors, yes.
Echo.
That's right. Echo.